one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, Madam Clerk, can you do the roll call for us?
Councilmember Estevez?
Here.
Councilmember Bennett?
Here.
Councilmember Easton?
Here.
Mayor Protem Connell?
Here.
Mayor Onan?
Here. And Mr. Attorney, do you have a report out of closed session for us?
Yes, the City Council had an opportunity to meet in closed session conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation regarding Bishop Ranch 2000 LLC versus City of Goleta. No reportable action was taken.
Thank you. Do we have any speaker slips for our public forum segment?
Mayor, we do not have any public speaker slips.
All right, thank you. So, Mr. Manager, any amendments or adjustments to our agenda?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the public, the council had an opportunity to meet this afternoon in the first of a couple of budget work sessions, and the business this afternoon wasn't fully concluded, and the council determined after your regular items are concluded tonight to go back into that remainder of that work session. So for the public's benefit, you will have that item on your evening agenda at the end.
All right. So at the end of our stated agenda, we'll come back to our budget workshop this evening. All right. So let's move on to item C1. Madam Clerk, will you read that for us?
Approval of minutes of the City Council meeting of May 4th, 2010. C2, acceptance of the April 2010 check register.
All right. Any requests to pull an item from this consent calendar?
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for approval. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
It's unanimous, so the consent calendar is approved. We'll move on to our public hearing item for this evening. And is that you, Mr. Adamidis?
Yes, sir.
May I go ahead and read the title?
Please do, Madam Clerk.
Item D1, proposed ordinance establishing parking restrictions for oversized vehicles, recreational vehicles, and trailers on city streets.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, staff is here tonight to present the proposed ordinance establishing parking restrictions for oversized vehicles, recreational vehicles, and trailers on city streets. The effort to regulate parking and storage of oversized vehicles on public streets has long been a source of complaints relating to the parking of these vehicles within the public roadways throughout the City of Goleta. Staff, in response to the council's review and discussion of the city's strategic plan, identified one of the goals, develop a proactive parking enforcement program. Based on this directive, staff has prepared and developed the proposed ordinance before you tonight. The concerns related to the parking of vehicles generally have been that these vehicles are an eyesore, that they prevent effective street sweeping, and the vehicles are being stored on public streets for long periods of time. For these reasons, staff has approached the City Council's Ordinance Committee, comprised of Mayor Pro Tem Margaret Connell and Councilmember Roger Estevez, to discuss the potential parking regulations for oversized vehicles. The committee met in February and again in April to discuss the issue and has recommended to staff to bring this item to the full council for consideration and adoption of the ordinance. We heard from a number of residents at those committee meetings in February and April who voiced concerns about the parking issue within their neighborhoods. The proposed ordinance before you would essentially prohibit oversized vehicles from being parked or left standing upon any public street within the city limits at any time. For the purpose of my staff report tonight, I also want to point out that the term oversized vehicles will be inclusive of recreational vehicles, which is also defined in the ordinance. So it's oversized vehicles and recreational vehicles. I'll just be referring to both those as oversized vehicles. Exceptions to the parking regulations would include the following. for any vehicle being immediately loaded or unloaded during such times as emergency repairs are actually being made, and for commercial vehicles making pickups or deliveries. The proposed ordinance would establish various definitions for oversized vehicles. These definitions came out of the California Vehicle Code. The definition included in this report to you tonight does not include pickup trucks or sport utility vehicles, which are less than 25 feet in length and 82 inches in height. Staff has no way of estimating how many residents would be affected by the proposed ordinance. However, staff did recently conduct a windshield survey of the entire city to gauge the degree to which oversized vehicles are being parked on public streets. This occurred on April 21st. Staff observed a total of 232 oversized vehicles, consisting of 38 boats, 65 recreational vehicles, 102 trailers, and 27 other types of vehicles, such as large commercial vehicles or tractor trailers. In attachment 3 of your report are a number of photos that we have included of the representative types of vehicles that were found. If the proposed ordinance is adopted, residents would need to either park their oversized vehicles on their private property or find suitable storage at a private off-site location. The ordinance would also provide for the issuance of a parking permit to allow users of oversized vehicles to park adjacent to their residence or businesses, or to allow out-of-town visitors to park in front of the residence which they are visiting. The current proposal would allow a maximum of 3 consecutive days of on-street parking under these conditions, with no more than 6 days in total allowed in any 60-day period. Based on an estimate of staff time to administer the ordinance, the parking permit cost would be $20. Primary administration and enforcement of the proposed ordinance would rest within the Neighborhood Services and Public Safety Department and handled by the city's code compliance officer. Impacts to staff resulting from the implementation of this oversized vehicle parking program would consist of the following. Posting each entrance of the city with signs notifying people entering the city limits as to the parking restrictions. Processing and issuing parking permits, responding to citizen complaints, conducting field investigations to ensure compliance, and the issuance of citations and/or towing of non-compliant vehicles. From a procedural standpoint, staff would typically respond or investigate potential violations on a complaint-driven basis. Generally, staff would conduct a field investigation and would do a number of issues or items out in the field. First, issue a verbal warning if someone is found to be with the vehicle, or if the vehicle is unattended, issue a parking citation in conjunction with a written warning that the vehicle will be towed if not removed from public streets within 72 hours. And if the vehicle is still on the street after 72 hours, the vehicle would be towed. The proposed ordinance represents a significant change for city residents with oversized vehicles. The intent of the ordinance is to reduce the use of the public right-of-way for the storage of vehicles and enhance the public safety of pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorists. Moreover, in addition, as part of the city's National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, NPDES, the city must enhance its street sweeping program. Street sweeping is an important component of NPDES implementation, as it removes accumulated debris and pollutants from the street and gutters before a rain event washes these contaminants into the storm drain, which ultimately drains untreated to the ocean. Currently, street sweeping has been hampered by the many RVs, trailers, boats, and other oversized vehicles being stored in the public right-of-way. Vehicles stored in the public right-of-way for indefinite periods of time further impede the city's NPDES efforts. as they may leak oil, gas, and other solvents which can lead to stormwater pollution, and in any event, prevent proper and useful sweeping of city streets. As I indicated, this proposed ordinance represents a significant change for city residents with regard to the parking of oversized and recreational vehicles. Staff has indicated in the report that council may wish to consider a transition period during which time a public outreach campaign could be undertaken, warning notices could be issued to vehicles, and warning signs could be erected at entrances to the city. This transition period would also provide businesses and residents with time to locate appropriate, legal, and off-street parking and storage. I'd like to also add, with regard to off-site storage, staff did conduct an informal investigation into the availability of parking and storage for oversized vehicles. The survey consisted of contacting 14 establishments to determine the availability of spaces, two of which did not respond to staff inquiries. Of the 12 facilities staff was able to make contact with, 9 are located within the city of Goleta and 3 are located within the Santa Barbara vicinity. Staff learned that rates for oversized vehicle storage are predominantly between $75 and $125 a month. Rates are based on length, height, etc. Approximately 50 uncovered spaces were available at the time of the recent survey. Covered or indoor parking was currently not found, but one facility did offer spaces, although they are limited. We also were made aware recently that a parking facility, I think referred to as the Noel Tree Farm in the Nolita area, was recently closed down because it was operating in violation of current zoning standards. So those spaces are not included in the count that I just referred to. This concludes my staff report. Staff is happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Adamatis. Questions of staff before we go to the public? Seeing none, I'm going to open the public hearing. And we're going to go to public comment. I'll call you each up here. We'll have 3 minutes per person. Our first speaker will be Bill Master. Our second will be Dana Trout.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk about the ordinance. So the question is, why do people come here to talk about a mundane topic like parking? Well, as you all know, boys like their toys, and this ordinance messes with our toys. So I want to talk a little bit about the implications of this and what my thoughts are. And I'm here talking to you because I have a boat, which is parked on the street, which I try to use each weekend if I can. And so as background, as you all know, there's an existing ordinance which disallows the parking for longer than 72 hours, and it's been generally enforced for the existence of the city of Goleta and prior to that the county through a complaint basis. So that's the backdrop of the existing situation. So why is a new ordinance being proposed here? Well, first, NDDES permit, so the requirement that you want to be able to do the street sweeping, of course, and don't want to have dirt building up as a result of parked vehicles. But clearly, the 200 or 300 or 400 RVs and boats aren't the main impediment to street sweeping. The main impediment to street sweeping are the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of vehicles that are parked on the road every day. And so if that's a principal concern of the cities, then one has to really approach that comprehensively, like other cities do, and that's addressing alternate side parking, things of that nature, which you see in many cities, to talk about a true solution to enable street sweeping. RVs are a minor dent in the problem of street sweeping, I would contend. And we don't want to do a massive ordinance change to address that small problem. Another issue that was addressed is restricted visibility, obviously a problem. if you park a big vehicle right next to the corner, and people coming around the corner can't see, that's definitely a problem. Just like parking a car right next to a corner that impedes traffic. And so I would completely agree that if you have situations where people are parking their RVs in a manner that's restricting visibility, they should be asked to move that. And of course, with my boat, I've been very careful to park considerably away from the corner so we don't have that problem. The other thing is complaints. So obviously, there's something that needs to be done because the city is getting complaints. This is an issue that needs to be addressed. And so for like me, I've had my boat parked there for 20 years now. I've checked with all my neighbors. None of them have complained. And I did get a citation once, which I did talk to the enforcement people. And they said, well, they didn't have to complain about my boat. They complained about some other vehicles a block away. And so they went and cited all the vehicles in the area. But that was 3 or 4 years ago, and I've never had an issue since then. So I want to suggest a alternative. Do I have a minute or more, too?
Yes, you do.
Yes, thank you. Okay. So first, I want to say about availability of alternative parking. So I think the estimate of 200 to 300 vehicles, frankly, is probably an underestimate of how many vehicles this can affect. But I did call around today for all the places I could reach about available parking places. And I'll tell you that the first place I called, all above all parking, no parking spaces available in Goleta. Mammoth Moving, two spaces available, one for $400 a month, one for $500 a month. Dixon's I couldn't reach, they're not open on Tuesday or Wednesday. And so, like when this came up 4 or so years ago, there's very few spaces available in Goleta for the large number of vehicles. So you have to ask, what's going to happen to all these vehicles when you move them off the road? And I would say this is what's going to happen. Number one, any existing spaces are going to be filled up. Okay. Number two, people are going to park on the grass. And even though that's not appropriate and probably against the requirements, you're going to take maybe a dozen problem vehicles and you're going to end up with 200 or 300 problem vehicles because people have got to find a place to put these vehicles. The alternative is Ventura parking. Okay. So that would mean for me hauling my boat down to Ventura, bringing it back up each time. So that's traveling time, air pollution, all the issues associated with trying to move my boat all around to find a parking place. So that, of course, raises secret issues and devalues the value of my property because I can't keep it in Toledo and I can't find a space. So a pragmatic solution, I don't think everybody will like this solution, including some RV owners, but what I would suggest is the following. A surgical approach to address the problems that you truly have. And here would be a possibility. Require an online registration if somebody wants to park a big vehicle on the road, okay? You can charge your $20 fee or whatever your fee is to help with your enforcement cost, but that way you keep track of what vehicles are on the road, and you also require that people sign as part of that online registration acknowledgement that they know the rules. They're not gonna impede visibility, they're gonna move their vehicle on the day that the street sweeping comes. People can sign and commit to all those things. And while I know a lot of boat owners and RV owners aren't going to like this idea, it seems to me a practical solution. And it also would enable the city that if you have 3 complaints, or whatever standard you want to set, for people that violate the requirements and do things that are egregious, what would you do? You'd suspend their permit for a year. So that to me seems like a logical
solution. You need to wrap it up, Mr. Masters.
Okay. Things I wanted to address. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Our next speaker will be Dana Trout. And after Mr. Trout will be Vandeman. I guess that's Gary.
Hello, thank you. It's interesting that Bill and I came up with very similar solutions, even though we hadn't talked to each other about how to address the issue. One of the primary things, of course, is the street sweeping, and it's always been an issue for the street sweeping in our neighborhood that the sweeper has to go around multiple vehicles. Not all of them are large, not all of them are RVs, not all of them are boats. You know, there's a lot of cars out there, too. And the current way that's done is that the street sweeper comes through our area once every other week, But it does say
area that is over a mile in breadth. So if all the cars, all the vehicles had to move off the streets, they'd have to go a mile away. And that's too far. But if instead of doing both sides of the street on the same day, if they did one side of the street on one week, and the succeeding week, they did the other side of the street, you know, the vehicles could move from one side to the other. If a vehicle is parked there just as storage, a person isn't going to do that very often. They're going to find a spot off streets. And if it's on these, if it's actually in use, it'll be out of the way of the street sweeper, so the gutters are completely cleaned, and you manage to get the clean runoff from the streets into the streams and into the ocean, which is one of the goals. One of the things that I had a problem with in looking at the situation is that the proposed ordinance is going to be driven by complaints, which really is saying that you're essentially telling people to ignore the law but don't get caught, which itself is a terrible message. And when a resident is warned or cited for breaking the law, he knows somebody reported him. We've already had two neighborhood feuds that I know about that were precipitated by such complaints. And the fact that it's all based on complaints coming in actually has put our neighborhood in uproar a couple of times. I think the street sweeping solution is the best way around the problem because it doesn't get neighborhoods in uproars over who made the complaint. It's always, it's something that you always take care of. If the vehicle is on this street, on the site that's being swept, it will be cited, and the second time it will be towed. That just takes care of the problem. I'll leave you copies of my remarks. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Trout. Our next speaker will be Gary Vandeman, followed by Richard Foster.
Good evening, Mayor Onan, members of the City Council. I feel like this is an ordinance whose time has come, unfortunately. I know there's a lot of trade-offs here. You know, a sign pollution, putting up a sign everywhere on, you know, like in Santa Barbara, you know, do not park on this side of the street on Tuesdays. I'm sure glad you're wrestling with this and not me, because there's a lot of issues here. But I think that trying to restore the city, especially the residential areas, to residential use is a good thing to do. It's a little hard for an ordinance to differentiate between a commercial vehicle and a recreational residential vehicle, but I think that it doesn't really matter what it is, if it's blocking the view or making people really, you know, slow down to kind of avoid those and wonder about kids running out in the street. So I think that this is an idea whose time has come. I appreciate your bringing it here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vandeman. Next speaker, Richard Foster, followed by Irene Russo. I couldn't read that correctly. I hope I got that.
Good evening, members of the City Council. I'm glad to see we're addressing this. When we first became a city, I came down and said what we need to do is ban all overnight parking on the street. It would allow us to have 100% street sweeping at night. It would get rid of all the illegal rentals. We wouldn't have to worry about garage conversions because if you could fit the cars in your driveway, who cares how many people live there, which would also, of course, force people into mass transit, which makes us more green. So if I had anything to say on this, it probably doesn't go far enough. I would advocate just ban all overnight parking on the street, plan on being lynched, but we'll have a better city for it. One problem I see with this, it's just going to move the vehicles off the street into their drive and their vehicles in their drive out on the street. I have a neighbor. His truck got trashed when I moved in there 10 years ago, and it's still in the drive, and the boat's in the drive, and there's two dead cars in front of the house. But he finds places to park his other vehicles. If we're going to do this, I think somebody needs to be able to regularly enforce it, not wait to do it. The fundamental problem here is, as this gentleman pointed out, is it's $400 a month to store your vehicle. There are those in our community who think that we should be providing their storage for them. If this is a $400 a month value, and the public right-of-way belongs to all the members of the community, they're basically saying that we have an obligation to provide them with public storage place in front of their house or their neighbor's house. So perhaps the thing to do is just sell monthly permits for $100 a month, and you can then use the public right-of-way for your storage facility. I can't take a pod and take all the junk from my garage and store it in front of my house on the street. Why should somebody store their boats or their RVs or their trailers with their motorcycles in front of the house? It's only reasonable. I think it might be more effective to just have a high monthly fee. You know, it's still cheaper than $400 a month at a storage place. It solves the problem of shortages. $100 a month, you get a sticker. If the sticker's not on the vehicle, you know whether it's a ticket or not. It makes it a very simple kind of solution. So, but I do see a problem of just moving them off the street into somebody's driveway and putting that you haven't really resolved anything and you haven't really changed it. So ban them all, or I would go for a sticker method that was substantial and compensated the community for the public commons that these people are using. And, you know, and that's fair and that's equitable. And it's still a deal at $100 a month. Thank you.
Thank you. Irene Russo, and followed by, I'm again not able to read, but it's Bruce Wilson.
Good evening. I live on Elwood Station Road, which is a notorious road for businesses parking their parking their trucks. We have three tree trucks, two buses, a limousine service, a big rig, and the wood from the tree trimmer. So we've got all these businesses parked on a street that's like a tenth of a mile long. And we have a mobile home park and a condominium complex where nobody can park. We also have a lot of gang graffiti on that street. And it's just, it's kind of a ghetto-looking area. So I have a real issue with commercial vehicles. Also, most of them are parked right next to the driveway. And a lot of children from our park walk to Elwood School. So they risk getting hit by cars coming out of both the condominiums and the mobile home park. So I like the idea of a permit and all these commercial vehicles, why can't they find a commercial space? The other commercial vehicles have their own space to park. So we have a scarcity of parking. We have children walking up and down the street. We have a lot of grease on the road and dust and dirt. And it's really a mess. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
excuse me. Bruce Wilson, Mayor, City Council. I've been a resident of the Goleta area for 34 years and have seen many changes out here, as I'm sure most of you have that have lived here this time. Part of it is influenced by houses in residential areas becoming rentals, and suddenly instead of having two or three cars, they have six or seven. Usually they can only park one or two in their driveway, which they have also a converted garage, which was grandfathered in from the county. We have a number of RVs, jet ski trailers, motorhomes parked in a residential area that I live in that are stored on the streets. Some of them I've seen haven't been moved for 6 to 8 months. You can see street sweeper trails around them. Some of these, like recently a close to 40-foot motorhome, well, trailer actually, is doing the roundy-round parking dance with our enforcement officer. And he keeps parking this thing right next to intersections and crosswalks near where the school children go and bicyclists go through, which blocks their vision, I'm sure. People that can afford these types of vehicles should give a consideration as to where they're going to put them. The comments about $400 a month is a bit exorbitant. There are a lot of places for a lot less. $400 a month is probably some secure indoor storage that would be appropriate for a very expensive vehicle. We have limited facilities, but I'm sure that the council would be receptive if someone wanted to start a business on vacant property in the appropriate area. It would be a good business opportunity for someone, and that also would help to relieve the parking congestion on the streets. Street sweeping alternate sides, I don't think that's a solution. It's just a go-around. One thing I would suggest is a possibility of making the minimum time longer than 3 days, maybe 5 days. 3 days can be a short time if you've had a vehicle in storage to get it set up for a month's travel between cleaning and maintenance and putting all your supplies in. I wouldn't go longer than 5 days, though. Safety, I think, is safety in the residential areas for traffic, visibility, street sweeping. I think those are some of the major concerns that I would be looking at, and just sort of the congestion that it causes in the areas. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. I have no other speaker slips. All right. We're going to close the public hearing, and we're going to go back to council for deliberations and discussion. Who'd like to open this up for us, or does anyone have questions of staff?
I do have a question of staff. They would respond to the comments of parking on their front lawn, zoning issues.
Well, good evening, members of the council. Maybe the best way to approach this is where can these oversized vehicles go, and let's just sort of take a walk through the various zones. So it may answer a number of questions you have. Can they go in a residential front yard? The answer is no. Does zoning allow for it to go in a residential side yard? That answer is no as well. It is permitted within a residential backyard. So it doesn't matter which one of the residential zones, the only area currently provided for by the ordinance is in the rear yard, generally the last 25 feet of a residential property. There is an exception. The exception is with design residential, usually multifamily, or with a mobile home park, if the permit, the development plan that was issued by the county originally, provided for such storage facilities. In the commercial and industrial, they are permitted in two zones in particular, in the C3 zone, which is heavy commercial, and in the M1 zone, which is heavy industrial. There are 12 zoning districts that span from Patterson to Stork that actually have either the C3 or the M1, and those may best be typified by on John Price's property off of Stork, where you have Zizo's coffee shop. Well, behind it you have the car wash, and behind it you have a permitted storage facility for RVs, boats, etc. Or the one that is next to the Page property, just to the south of the Page property, would be another example. Of the 12 zoning districts that span across the city, the majority of them are in the Old Town area. North Kellogg would be an example. Thornwood, if Technology Drive came all the way down, would be another example. In the Patterson area, Trudy Carey's storage facility, right up in the corner of the city across 101, if she had space there, has the appropriate zoning. And other than that, it would be overpass road area up where MTD has its former bus storage facility. There are properties with the right zoning, but they're generally utilized for other purposes given land cost. So there's market forces that also dictate whether or not someone wants to convert their property to this type of use.
Thank you, Mr. Chase. Any other questions of staff? Does that answer your question?
That does thoroughly. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no questions, we're here council discussions and deliberations. We need someone to start the ball rolling.
Happy to.
Mr. Bennett.
As usual, Mr. Foster thinks a bit out of the box, and his solution is ironic because the community I was born and raised in, which was Pasadena, and when I left some 40 years ago, I don't know what it's like today, but I know back then nothing was allowed to be parked on the street between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., and there was no allowance because of the zoning rules to park on anything other than what was allowed when the buildings were built or the homes were built, which meant the garage or the driveway. Couldn't park in the side yard, couldn't park in the front yard, could only park where it was authorized to park. Furthermore, if you had guests that came to visit, you were allowed to call the police department and they would write your address down and issue a permit number over the phone. There was no charge, and they kept track of it that way, and you were allowed, I believe, a minimum of 72 hours, and you had the right to extend it for those that were visiting, or for those instances where someone may be packing up a trailer to go on a trip, they were also allowed to go forward with that effort, and they were given a certain amount of time to make that happen. So it made it very easy. They never had to worry about what many of our communities worry about today or have to deal with today, and it was just kind of built in. And to my knowledge, they're still doing the same thing to this day. And that's not just that community. There's a number of communities in that area I know that have similar rules that have been enforced for many, many, many years. So under an ideal situation, I would agree with you, and I'd also probably be hung in effigy and carted away if that was proposed this evening and I was to support that. But it is something that would solve so many issues, because the other issue that Pasadena doesn't have is they don't have overcrowded residents, because people all want their cars. So if you can't park the cars there, then people aren't going to be jamming residents that were designed for maybe at the most a half a dozen people. You're not going to have two dozen living there. So it's got some built-in ways of solving a whole raft of community problems. But that's really not what's before us this evening. But I appreciate your comments, because it's something that I certainly have spoken of before, and it's one that is probably the ultimate answer to the issues that come before us on a unfortunate frequent basis. That all being said, I think the issues that I see, and I drive around our neighborhood, my neighborhood's no different. We have a rather large boat parked in front of on the front lawn. We have a diesel pusher that's I've received innumerable complaints about, that's parked on the area that allows them to drive into their driveway, but goes to the extent of their property, and it covers everything in the frontage of the property. And even though some folks may think that their neighbors don't complain, I can tell you that my suspicion is strong that because complaints can be filed anonymously, I suspect there's people that in fact may say something to your face, but in fact do something different when it comes to filing issues or filing a concern or whatever the case might be, or bringing it to any one of our attention. I know I seem to have more people stop me in the market to talk about issues than just about any other place. It seems to be a pretty convenient place to carry on a conversation. And this certainly is one of them, since I've been elected, that seems to come up time and time and time again. And it's often because something has just happened and they're upset and they're concerned. And so I think it's really imperative that we address this. But we've got some additional ideas tonight that I surely would like to see investigated, to see what the possibilities are. One was, I never thought of, was having a parking permit for the privilege of parking on the street for that storage, using the public right-of-way for that purpose. And if we did that, as another gentleman brought up, then we could impose the rules about not being there on sweeper day, making certain that they're gone and they understand that, and that they don't impair the safety in the community for the children. And in those areas that lady was speaking to in Elwood Beach in Mathilda, where it's so densely populated, and I believe is, and I would concur, I certainly have knowledge of some accidents in that area because of the lack of visibility, then maybe there's a different approach there we could use where there would absolutely be no exception to any vehicles being parked in that location, just because of the density of that particular community. So I think there's some options here that have been brought to our attention this evening and some other possibilities, and there's certainly some spaces in our community that have not yet been developed that was suggested by another gentleman in regards to a an entrepreneurial opportunity to create some parking that's available in Old Town on some property that exists down there. I don't know how it would pencil out, whether it make any sense at all. But these are all things that I think working together we could work on and provide space for moving these vehicles. I think this is certainly the step that we need to move on and then work in the future on the issue of keeping our streets open for the street sweeper. Most of the neighborhoods, as I drive around on street sweeping day, I would have to disagree unless there's communities that really have a lot of rentals going on. Most people are gone because they've gone to work. The street seems to be pretty empty except for those vehicles that we were discussing this evening and trailers, lots of trailers that are not connected to anything. They never move. And you can see where the street sweepers go around it. So I think the need is really here, but I really appreciated and liked some of the comments made of maybe effectively adapting this thing so that we can do the best for the community overall for those folks that do in fact have recreational vehicles and trailers and things of this nature that we know are impacting our community, but trying to work out some maybe accommodation. Like I say, that permit idea really intrigues me, and I don't know how practical that is. I would like to ask staff if they would further investigate that, because I think that's of interest. Thank you. Those are my comments.
Who's next? Mr. Easton.
The issue troubles me because it means for a large number of people some pretty significant changes in the way they're living. And I don't have a nice, coherent set of conclusions. I am troubled by small trailers. The things that it seems to me, if you get one into your side yard and it can't be seen by your neighbors, mucksnicks, what's the problem? Getting these vehicles out of view seems to be the important thing. I think about the idea of permitted parking. $200 a month strikes me as a reasonable rental of city space, but then I think about where would that go. Well, there isn't a residential neighborhood in town that's going to happily see the city renting space out in front of their house, nor is any store owner going to be happy to see a boat parked outside his store, blocking anybody seeing it from the street. That leaves an area, industrial areas, parking on the street, and now we're talking about Old Town, which has a plentiful supply already. And I think about the people that, you know, run those businesses and realize that being available to view and having an attractive business is, Mr. Mayor, something you're quite concerned about having. You just moved in a new quarters, and I'm sure you don't want 5 18-wheelers parked outside your street. So I don't know where these go, and that concerns me. It's one of the issues that, if I may wax philosophical for just a little bit, we used to be an urban, we used to be a rural place. When we were part of the county,
many things happened that were allowable in rural places, and we have become increasingly urbanized. And one of the things that people are concerned about in urban areas is appearances. And there's no way that a trailer or a boat, and I've seen some big boats on the streets here, or a commercial 18-wheeler parked in your neighborhood is attractive, is, can be deemed attractive in any way, manner, shape, or form. We need to control that problem, is what this ordinance is about. And that's going to mean changes, which I'm sure are going to be hard on a number of people who are used to a different way of life. I'm struck by the fact that I'm one of the few people in the city that hasn't lived here for 35 years. I've only been here for 9, I think, at this point. And so I don't have the problem with having lived here when it was a, when it was a rural space. And I could live as if I lived in the country. So I don't know the answer. One would hope that this ordinance may allow some of those people that have significant vacant land to make it available, perhaps on a temporary basis, a conditional use permit, to rent that space for parking for these large vehicles. I think the city owes it to the owners of these entities to try to help in some way, try to ameliorate or mitigate some of the impact, and how that might be done, I don't know. I'll vote for the ordinance, but with deep misgivings as to the effect it has on the parties that are affected by it. Thank you.
Mr. Settis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, if I was to rank the complaints that I've, the type of complaints I've received in the years I've been on council, this is probably number one. And there's one gentleman out there, I hope he's watching us tonight, who's called just about every month complaining about the motorhomes on Encina Road. And the fact they move every 3 days, but they're back again and the streets can't be cleaned. And I told him that, you know, one of these days council is going to be able to address this by way of an ordinance, but right now all we have is a vehicle ordinance that requires the vehicle to be moved every 72 hours. So I want to start off by thanking my colleague, Mayor Pro Tem Connell, and staff, legal counsel, for spending all the time in putting this ordinance together. Because, as somebody said, the day has come for this ordinance for our city. There's nothing more striking than what, and I'll repeat what Mr. Adamidis said, where he said on April 21st, just one day, 232 oversized vehicles, 38 boats, 65 recreational vehicles, 102 trailers, and 27 others. Well, obviously what is happening here is people are using the public right-of-way for storage. And that's not acceptable. You buy a motorhome, you buy a boat, comes with it the responsibility of finding a place to put it. And it's not on a public street. Many complaints I've received on boats where the owners were so inconsiderate to their neighbors that they're actually cleaning the boats in the street and letting that run down the curb. And that's just wrong. So I know change is not always comfortable. This ordinance does need to move forward. I would suggest that, you know, we have maybe a 30-day notification period before we start enforcement. Leave them notes that the ordinance is taking effect of whatever date, so that the people have been notified, not only from the signage that's going to go up, but personally notified by note left on their boats, their motorhomes. that the city has passed a new ordinance and it becomes effective such date. And also explain the procedure. If it's a, it belongs to somebody that lives there, on a motorhome situation, there's a way to receive a permit, be able to move it there. That's scary. there's a procedure that can be followed. But the important thing is that we need to take control of our street. It's more than just street sweeping, although that is a most significant environmental issue. It's using the streets for the public storage. All one has to do is look out our window here at City Hall. Is that me or is that? Anyway, all one has to look, just drive by City Hall any given day and you see the amount of trucks that are parked on the streets outside City Hall. And that's used for storage and it's wrong. So it needs to change. I'm definitely in support of this ordinance. I think in the future there'll be some modifications as time goes on, but I think this ordinance, we spent a lot of time on it in the ordinance committee. We took a lot of testimony, and staff spent a lot of time working this out with our legal counsel to find out something that really makes sense and fair for our community, and we have it before us. So I guess you can tell I'm in support of this ordinance, and I'll be voting for it. So thank you.
Member Connell?
Well, I think that there's been some issues brought up by people tonight and also with some of the emails we've received that have raised some issues that maybe we need to tweak the ordinance a little bit. But I think the real distinction that we need to be looking at here is this issue of the vehicles that are identified in this ordinance that are simply being stored. That's one issue. Vehicles that are being used on a fairly regular basis, I think, is another kind of issue. It's the storage on the streets that is the major problem. By the way, as far as street sweeping and having people move their cars on street sweeping days, I could not tell you in my neighborhood what day my street gets swept. I could probably find out, but I mean, even and I'm in the my street sweeping comes from Goleta West, right? And they send out a newsletter saying you know it's swept every other week on Tuesday or whatever, but I'm not told which week. So I think that's probably true for a lot of us that we really do not know what day our street's going to be swept, and the only way or swept, I guess. The only way you can resolve that, I think, is by putting up a lot of signs, which people don't particularly like either. So the idea of cleaning the streets of all cars at night, it's a nice idea, but I think that may be dreaming a little bit how we might go. But I definitely think this ordinance is needed for the so-called stored vehicles. But I think, for example, Mr. Trout called me about an issue where he has his trailer in storage, but when he's going somewhere, he brings it out the night before to load it and then goes off the next day. Then by Monday, he'd come back and leave it overnight and unload it the next day. And so we're looking at, if there's 3 days, we're looking at two permits there. So I think we need something included in here that allows for this kind of situation, maybe even some sort of annual permit that would cover situations of this kind where people are using their recreational vehicles on a pretty regular basis. Not that they should keep them on the street, but they shouldn't have to be looking for a permit every time they're getting ready to go somewhere. So I think that's something that could be added to this without distorting it. Obviously, the issue of where these vehicles can go is a serious one. And at the moment, by the research that our staff has done and others have done, it does not appear that there are sites available. But I do think at the moment, you know, the normal course of things would be once the second reading of this ordinance, and it would be 30 days, and it would go into effect. I think we need to extend that date of going into effect, maybe for, you know, 90 days or even 120 days, to give time for two things, for people to find somewhere where they can store their vehicle, and maybe gives some enterprising person an opportunity to take a piece of land they may own and put together another site for storing them. But so I think we need adequate time built into this with a definite date, which we should come up with on staff's recommendation before it would go into effect. And I would like to see some modification for the people who are not storing their vehicles on the street, but are bringing them out on a fairly regular basis for their recreational purposes. I think the another suggestion was that for guests, increasing the allowable time from 3 days to five, I could support that. So I think those are my immediate comments.
I'm going to take a minute here to make a few comments as well, Mr. Sevis, and maybe we'll have some more discussion about it. I'm going to start from some simple things that I see within the ordinance from my perspective in my industry. This ordinance would be difficult for the commuter bus system that comes into our area, the Clean Air Express. It actually would be in violation of our ordinances in its parking on the street. Those operate into town, they park on the street all day, they drive home. We need to find a way to accommodate that. There's a variety of ways, either creating allocated parking for them or permitting them. Tour buses coming into the area that bring a group of people here. We don't see so much out here in Goleta. Obviously, it's something that happens frequently in Santa Barbara. And they provide a location for them to park and allow those people to use the city for a longer period of time. It's not immediate loading and unloading. It's a longer-term situation. I also see in our city where bus trips are at hotels. And those hotel parking lots are not often conducive for that parking on site, or it's more difficult to get. At any case, we see them on the street. Sometimes these functions, quite often are sports teams attending UCSB or other colleges or whatever the circumstances would be, but it'll be a challenge into how do we get them to be aware of permitting requirements, create this short-term permitting with ease, or exclude them. So from my perspective in the transportation industry, we don't want to inhibit or encumber high-density vehicles because that's counterproductive to some of our goals and objectives. So I think that needs to be incorporated into this ordinance. An exception, some way of handling it. If I look on the bigger picture, maybe it should be a step-by-step process where, first of all, we require registration to really figure out what's going on as far as what's on the street, how long they need, the needs and actualities of what's existing. I agree with the Ordinance Committee in that we need to find a solution to this. But mandating an outcome without a solution is going to create a lot of hardships over the short run. I just can't. Government does this over and over again where it says we want an outcome, but there's not a clear path. How do we get there? How do we accomplish that? And I think in this case, we hold some cards that may provide some of those solutions. Unfortunately, it's not a short-term solution for someone to prepare and develop a site, even if it's very minimal in our process. I mean, even if it has minimal grading, but, you know, we've got challenges in making that happen if there were someone willing to step forward. So I can't support this going forward under the, I think it needs some tweaks. I think we need to identify some solutions. I certainly support the outcome that the folks are talking about. We don't have the right solution here, though. We're gonna put too many burdens on our community in too short of a time. We're going to see all kinds of vehicles parked on the side yards again. I mean, we see them all over the place now, and will we force them back into that situation, and will we just have another rash of complaints? I also heard someone say it shouldn't be complaint-driven. And I know we operate that way on certain things, but it would be beneficial if we had have it not only be complaint-driven, so that it is actually enforced with some regularity. I think that takes the burden off the neighborhood to do it and allows us again to see what's actually going on. So with some rewrites, some extended timelines, and the potential of identifying alternative storage spots, is there someone that we can identify some way to step forward? Then, again, I'll say I support the outcome. I just don't think that this will be an acceptable way to get to that outcome in the short run. So, Mr. Sevis, you were...
I was going to make a motion, but prior to make the motion, I just wanted to address a couple of comments. You know, I hear what you're saying, and I understand that... But as you move your buses up and down the state, one of the things you have to find out is where can you legally park them? And it's, you know, each city has their own rules based on their own needs. We have the Clean Air Express parked out here in the street all day long. But, you know, this moves forward. Their first task is to find a spot to put it, to put the bus. And maybe it's on your lot. I don't know. But that's something they need to figure out. It's not for us to identify locations for people to park their boats and their trailers. When they buy them, as I mentioned earlier, it's their responsibility to make that happen. Or don't buy the boat. This has been such a huge problem that if we don't move forward on this, and let's see how this works. Let's get it started. If it needs tweaking later, that's what we're here for. But so much time and effort has been placed to try to craft an ordinance that addresses mostly all the issues. I can't support an ordinance that allows someone to park their car for five or their mobile home for 5 days. It's a violation of the vehicle code. Vehicle code's very clear, 3 days. We don't have the authority to exceed that in which is been passed in the vehicle code law. So I couldn't support that, but there's other tweakings that can be done as far as, and staff can work with the homeowners to help them with their loading of their motor homes and help them move along the way. But we have to start somewhere. And, you know, this is where the ordinance committee worked on this so long with our legal staff to go somewhere. So I'm going to go ahead and move this forward in order to the City of Council, the City of Goleta, establishing parking restrictions for oversized vehicles, recreational vehicles and trailers on city streets, and repealing Section 10.01.280 of the Goleta Municipal Code. You're right. Introduction. Go ahead.
And that would be to introduce the ordinance only and to waive further reading of the ordinance.
All right. So we have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll call for a second on that motion again. Seeing no second, the motion dies. Do we have an alternative motion?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely want to support the ordinance. I just don't think it's quite ready yet, based on the comments we heard tonight from a number of different people. Personally, for me, I've asked if staff could investigate some of the issues that were brought up. that I've already previously noted. And I would agree with Councilmember Connell that there's some things in here I think that need to be tweaked. I mean, I think the overall ordinance is great, and I think it'll ultimately end up making our community a safer and a better place to live. The quality of life will be improved, and we'll accomplish some goals that are really necessary in regards to street sweeping. And but I don't think we're quite there yet. I think it needs to be fleshed out a little bit more by staff. And I, too, am going to see it supported not on a complaint basis. That creates all kinds of inequities, and I think that it needs to be by the ordinance, the way the ordinance is written. It needs to be enforced in that way. And I am very respectful of the comments that you made in regards to the Clean Air Express, which we're very supportive of, because this is what we want people to do, is use available transportation and get out of their cars. So we want to make sure we don't do things that impede that ability for people to do that. And so however we can accomplish and accommodate them, and then however it's done, because I don't know. I think Councilmember Aceves brought up a good point. I don't know how buses and trucks know where to park. Never thought of it before. And if there's some means for people to gain that knowledge, then I would say we make that available to the commercial buses and see, after they've done their loading or unloading, if there's a place that we can offer up to them to go to, so that their inconvenience is limited or reduced. So those are kinds of issues I think that need to get resolved before we bring this back. But I definitely believe in the ordinance. I think it needs to go forward. But if we can work on these issues that have been brought up, I would feel much more comfortable.
So, Mr. Bennett, was there a motion in there?
Well, I guess my motion would be to refer to staff to investigate a number of the items that have been brought up by council members this evening, as previously stated, and that bring it back to us with that information and adjustments in the proposed ordinance.
I can second that.
There's a first and second. Any further discussion?
Could we have some clarification from staff? Because I'm not sure what the modifications to the ordinance are. I understand the additional information regarding implementation, enforcement, some of the alternative solutions and land use issues. I understand that. What I'm not clear on is what you would have me to change in the ordinance.
Okay. Let me go over my comments, and then other council members obviously can jump in and throw in theirs. I think the idea of registering all affected vehicles with the city is a issue that we should look into. Providing an annual permit, I think we should look into. Extending to 5 days for visits, I know it's done elsewhere. I won't repeat where that's done, but I know it's done longer than 3 days. I think we need to be careful on the issues when we squeeze the balloon, that it doesn't pop out elsewhere on side yards and on front yards. I don't want to see it complaint driven. I think further reviewing and looking at alternative storage sites, and then coming to grips with the Clean Air Express and the commercial bus issue, I would like to see how we might be able to handle that. Those are my comments.
Is the okay, have the understanding of the registration with an annual permit, what limitations would be placed on those?
Well, I think the limitations that are spelled out in there, with the exception of, folks that want to, most people when they go off on a trip, usually leave bright and early in the morning, and they've loaded up the vehicle, ahead of time, so that there's no misunderstanding that's why the annual permit, I thought, might work really well, because then there's no limitation on having it available for 6 days or something like that, and they're gone for three or four, and they come back, and then they have to worry about, is their permit not long enough? So I thought the annual permit would probably solve that issue altogether.
Okay. From an enforcement perspective, how is an enforcement officer who receives a complaint, goes out and sees the vehicle, are we looking at basically enforcing it the same way we are the 72-hour permit? Because what the ordinance as drafted attempted to draw a distinction of storage versus loading, by looking at whether or not the people were actually there actively engaged. I think allow the flexibility for the limited storage. If you don't have some visible sign, a person present actively engaged, the enforcement officer has no idea if that vehicle has been there for 6 months, which the neighbor may say, but if they haven't observed it, can't enforce on that basis, or if it was just pulled in there the day before. So that we try to, from an enforcement, from an implementation standpoint, that's what we're trying to get to. And if there's something we can do with that annual permit that gets to that, we'll certainly want to craft it. But that's the piece I'm missing.
Well, part of the detail that I'm familiar about where I came from is it required only a phone call. And if the vehicles that we're talking about are registered, that should be easily accommodated. And when the phone call was made, the information is right in front of the individual taking down the information. And they're told verbally, we're now noting that you're loading and you're bailing out tomorrow. So if you went by the next day at 10 o'clock and it was still there, then that wasn't what they said they were going to do. What they said they were going to do was they were loading it today because they're going to leave here bright and early at 4 o'clock in the morning. So as I say, I know that works with little impact, and it's worked well. And what I'm trying to suggest is we put as few impacts overall to this, if we're going to be successful and not make it onerous and not make it, cost prohibitive. The idea of charging $20 each time, it to me, that just doesn't make sense. I don't think it's fair, and I don't think we're going to get compliance. We're just going to upset a whole lot of folks. And I think that's unreasonable.
We could do that. The piece that you just said with the phone-in registry was the piece that was missing. With that, we can make it work.
If I may, another way of handling that is, like you get your Borders coupon, you get an email that you got a Borders coupon. At least some of us do.
I do.
And then you print it out. So you'd have the phone call, or you could have the emailing in, and then you get something that's printed out, and you put the date on. Anyway, I'm making it complicated, but I mean that is another way of handling it.
If I could just make a comment on that, we have our motion and our second in place. We're going to come back to this motion, but really, what I saw this was a step in the process rather than it be in the ordinance. In other words, that we would go out and get an inventory of vehicles that are on the street via a registration requirement. While we're tweaking this ordinance, while we're looking for the opportunity for off-site storage, while we're going through a process here, so we know what's out there, we can have them identify it. They can do this by phone or website or whatever it is, and set it up that this is coming, that, I know 30 or 60 days sounds like some time, but on the other side of it, if you're spending hundreds of dollars a month for the alternative, this is going to be a hardship. So if their choice is, as someone said, then don't own it, then let's give them an opportunity not to own it. And this is a year or some significant time frame. First, we find out who they are, but I just think we need to take this process a little slower until we can have more solutions. I know that the outcome is still desirable, but any other comments on this before we go to a vote on the motions? I've got Mr. Easton hasn't had a chance yet.
Well, you've awakened some memories in terms of dealing with buses and having parties that were meeting buses. And cell phones have taken care of a lot of the uncertainty in that, because the bus is parked someplace and you call the driver and he says, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. He was someplace, I don't know where. And we need to have in the city someplace, a place for him to be able to go. That might be on the other side of the street from your office. But that would be a good place where a lot of vehicles could line up and they got to turn their engines off. But I just think there are so many different situations in this bill that are not addressed by a one-size-fits-all that I think we can make it better.
Other comments?
Just a question. We've been spending so much time talking about motorhomes. We're losing the fact that a big part of this ordinance dealt with trailers, boats, semi-trailers, trucks that are parked all over our city. My understanding, you want this tweaked, so it's probably going to have to be referred back to the ordinance committee for review. We had at least three, if not four, public meetings on this, where the public came and very clearly told us what they wanted. So it'll be noticed. You have an opportunity to come and give your input on it. But I would hope that this not go for another 2 or 3 months. We waited a long time for this ordinance to come before us, and it's something that we can answer these questions, and council can vet it out, you know, at a future meeting. But the bottom line is it is a public process, and people need to stay engaged. Those that were engaged before, don't lose faith, because come back and talk to us. So am I clear, though? You are requesting this come back to the ordinance committee, not to staff, because staff's working along with the ordinance committee. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm assuming it goes back to the ordinance committee, but...
I don't have any problem with that if that's the desire of the ordinance committee. If they want to see this, again, otherwise I would leave it to staff based on the input and the work that the ordinance committee's already done.
Well, I don't want to see it again. I was hoping we'd take care of it tonight, but I think it's important that we have another public meeting on this before it comes back to council. So I'd be comfortable having it.
I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah. Ordinance committee.
We ready for a vote? All right. Everybody comfortable with the motion that's on the floor? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. So we sent it back to staff for some further work.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to make one comment. I think that what we've gone through tonight makes it very clear how important it is to have public hearings on these kinds of proposals. I mean, we have learned something from it, and we've learned some of the situations, and I think it's going to end up making it a better ordinance.
Take a quick break.
Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break. We're going to come back after that 10-minute break and get back into our work session on budget, and we'll go to the closing activities after that. So... 10 minutes.
And can't see how those weary blues could ever come to you. But as you sow, so shall you reap, dear. And what?
Kind of finish up our regular meeting parameters of, you know, council comments, city manager report, city attorney report, and then go back to our format that we were working under in our budget workshop. And they're going to need a few minutes to get everybody set up once we do that. But let's see if we can kind of finish out the normal meeting process for those who are watching, and then we're going to go into our budget workshop.
Is the budget workshop going to be on camera also?
I would assume not, because we were not in our other budget workshop. We let the camera crew go home and move back into that method.
I prefer that we have a public discussion on camera. Is everybody going? That'd be my call, unless they would take a vote to not have it videotaped.
Well, the problem is we're just doing the tail end of the discussion. We have this afternoon.
Unless there's... consensus from a majority of you that you want to do it the other way, my intention was to bring it back to the same process we were in this afternoon. which puts us in that workshop scenario that wouldn't necessarily be filmed for the closeout session. Obviously, this is not a decision-making point, but what's the council's preference here? Any problem with us doing that?
You know, my personal preference always is that I would have liked the workshops to be televised from the beginning, and maybe that's something to look at for the future. But since we're really at the trying to finish off something that we're in the middle of, I don't know that we've there's much point in televising it right now. But I prefer television even when we're doing workshops.
Any other problem with that? Okay. So we're going to move into council comments. Mr. Easton?
I thought we were going to finish the personnel cost-saving options.
Yeah, I'm going to finish out the normal council meeting, and then we're going to go back to the workshop atmosphere for those final activities.
I just want to repeat on the record, Mr. Mayor, that I'm opposed to not videotaping this public process.
Thank you, Mr. Aceves. Did you go on record before our workshop earlier today making that same statement?
You know, I probably should have.
You didn't.
But since we have a camera rolling this evening, it makes sense to keep it going. But if it's council's direction not to have this videotaped, I just on record that I'm opposed to that. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Aceves. So, council comments. Who would like to lead us off? No one? No council comments this evening? We can skip them.
No.
Okay. Mr. Easton.
Since you asked, sir, I attended a meeting Sunday night. Sunday? Maybe it was Saturday night. Sponsored by Pueblo. It was extremely well attended. Had to do with raising a number of issues for the Hispanic community in Nolita and Goleta. And I was struck by the participation. I was struck by the raising of a number of issues that I was unaware of, such as what happens when you get pulled over and you don't have a license and your car vanishes. You don't even have time to call someone and have a licensed driver come and you know take the car away. They simply take your car and you have to pay to get it back again, and those towing fees are onerous. But one of these subjects that came along, which I haven't had a chance to talk to anyone else about raising, but I will at least bring to your attention, and I will talk to my cohorts and see if someone else wants to bring this matter with me and ask for the city to do something about it, or at least recognizing that it exists. There are moves afoot in many jurisdictions to end any business that they do in the state of Arizona to protest the laws that have been passed that affect Hispanic people, or even anyone that this police might suspect to be an illegal alien. I believe the city of Santa Barbara will be considering something of this nature, as well maybe the county of Santa Barbara, at least judging from the comments of other elected officials that were there. So I would ask that you might think about this, and I'm sure the state of Arizona is quivering in its boots at the thought of the city of Goleta taking such a step. But we might at least make a statement to the Hispanic community, which is certainly up in arms across the nation with the onerous law that has been enacted in the state of Arizona to, quote, try to stop illegal immigration.
All right. Any other comments if you want to join Mr. Easton, let us know in your comment period. Mr. Bennett, you have no council comments? Councilmember McConnell?
First we did have a finance and audit standing committee meeting, much of which, of course, we're dealing with today anyway. But we did have a considerable discussion of the different reserves policies that we have, and that will be coming to us at our next budget hearing. And we also had a discussion of investment policies. The other thing I'd like to mention is that, you know, I am the city's representative on the Homeless, South Coast Homeless Advisory Committee, as well as the countywide committee. And Goleta had the privilege of hosting a meeting of the countywide Homeless Advisory Committee here last Friday. So, you know, a lot of issues there, some of which we will be dealing with in the future. But I was very glad that we were able to host a countywide committee here.
Thank you. Comments, Mr. Aceves?
I'm going to support Mr. Easton on this. I think I'd like to have a meeting here with the public and have them give us direction as to what they'd like us to do instead of arbitrarily doing a resolution. Those are my comments.
All right. So, staff, you have the customary two council people asking for some staff work on bringing this back. All right. I have no comments this evening. Mr. Manager, do you have comments?
Yes, I do. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, a couple of things. First of all, we have our State of the City event at lunch this Friday for members of the public that would like to still attend. There is a fee over at the Elks Lodge, but I think registration ends tomorrow. And there may still be room. I understand we're looking at a very good turnout of over 200 people. However, the event is also televised and is free to the public that doesn't want to spend the money or can't attend on Friday. It'll be playing on Cox Cable. We'll be posting that on our website. We'll also be in a position to rebroadcast on our own Channel 19. So that's the first item. The second thing is just for the public's sake that we will be closed, of course, in observance of Memorial Day. That'll be a week from Monday, so offices will be closed. The first day back will be your next council meeting, and we intend to do a follow-up budget workshop that afternoon, and then followed by the regular council meeting that evening. And finally, I just wanted to point out that I think in part because of our widespread efforts to help out with the U.S. Census and get out the count, we've been recognized by the Department of Commerce, the Bureau of the Census, for our efforts in the community, as well as a certificate of appreciation from the local group that, or the regional group that was helping with this. And, you know, we've helped to promote the importance of the census to our town, more so in Goleta than in most places, because being only 8 years old and having the census come around only every 10 years, we've never had a count that represents just the city of Goleta. So this is an important step for us. For those members of the public that might be watching at this point, if they haven't received a survey form in the mail, there will be census count takers that will be coming door to door. And please welcome them and participate in their efforts. I believe that may start sometime this month. There you go. Started May 1st, so, and that's all my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Attorney, do you have any comments for us?
No reports.
Thank you very much. So with that, we're going to recess from our normal meeting, go back to our workshop on budget. This, of course, will be available via recording as well. I believe this will be recorded. Not on film, but we are doing an audio recording of this that will be available on our website if that's what the folks would like to do. So we're going to take 5 minutes here and let staff get back set up, and then we'll get into those final issues that we're working on this afternoon. So 5 minutes, and we'll be back.
Probably only be recorded for